We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Retired boxer. Retired young, which is good. But a perfect record of 32-0. And now actor as well in Creed, which was awesome. And I can't wait to see Creed 2. Andre Ward with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Andre, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Talk about, first of all, you know, so many boxers, it seems, stay too long, right? They stay past their prime and they lose a lot of fights at the end.
He's a young man.
It seems smart. You retired young, on top, 32-0. Talk about why you retired.
That's a loaded question.
Yeah.
It's a lot of reasons. You know, family, health, all of those things. You know, I've accomplished pretty much everything that I wanted to accomplish. But for whatever reason, you know, even as a young man when I first started the game at 10, 11 years old, and then obviously as a teenager and so on and so forth, you know, I was always a student of the game. And, you know, I just watched how guys would progress throughout their career, and it's almost like they would have this arc in their career, and inevitably at some point they start to downward spiral, and it's like even when they started to slip, like they wouldn't be able to recognize that they're slipping, and then they would right. implode. Like they'd have an explosion at the end, and everybody would kind of, you know, mock them and talk about them and wag their finger at them, and I just didn't want to be a part of that conversation. And I always knew, at least, you know, in theory that, okay, I want to do X, Y, and Z, and all the retired athletes that I talk to in all sorts of different sports, they tell me, you're just going to know. And I was like, okay, that seems really simple. And I got to a point after Kovalev won where I thought that was it. I took about 3 or 4 months off where I did absolutely nothing, which was very, very strange for me. That was kind of an indicator for me. I got back on the horse one more time, probably had my career best performance against the toughest guy I've ever fought. And, you know, I thought I wanted to fight again. It was a lot of money on the table, tens of millions of dollars. And I woke up one day, just like those retired athletes said, and I no longer wanted to do it. My wife supported me. My circle supported me. And I made the decision maybe 3-4 weeks later.
I think that's cool that you were self-aware and that, like, you know, some guys would have just done it for the money, right? And and you didn't want to do that. That's pretty cool.
I'll be honest, Andre. I would not walk away from $10 million.
You made a lot of money, right?
Tens of millions.
Tens of millions. I would not walk away from my friend, so you are a stronger man. But you made a lot of money, too. You made a lot of money, which is pretty cool. Hey, you started boxing like when you were a pup, like 12 years old, 13 years old?
I was 9 years old.
First time
I walked in the gym. Yeah.
Wow. How did that come about? Like, how did you know at 9 years old, I'm going to get into the ring?
My first love was baseball. I was a pitcher and a shortstop.
Nice.
Wanted to follow my dad's footsteps. But my dad didn't share with me the fact that he fought as an amateur. We talked about it one day, and I was like, wait, you fought? He was like, yeah, son. You know, I didn't tell you a lot about it, but, you know, I was an amateur. I was a heavyweight. I was 15-0. And he just started kind of telling me about his brief career. I was like, Dad, I want to do this. And he was like, yeah, son, it's not a game. If we start this, we're going to be serious about it, so you need to think about it. And I was like, no, I want to do it. He took me down to the gym. First day I was there, the gym was closed, and he kind of lifted me up on his shoulders, and I peeked in the window, and I saw a ring. And it was love at first sight. Like, I just knew that I wanted to be a part of it. And we came back the next day, and we signed up with the house trainer, the guy who trains everybody that comes through the doors, and his style wasn't what my dad was looking for. His style was take two punches to give one, and my dad was an Ali fan, and he was a firm believer of hitting and not getting hit. And shortly after that, we ran into Virgil Hunter, who ended up becoming my godfather and my lifelong trainer, and he taught me the art of hitting and not getting hit. And, you know, 23 years later, the rest is history.
You won your first title June 20th, 2008, a little over a decade ago. When you think about that moment, winning the first winning that first belt, what was that like?
Yeah, that was a major monkey off my back. Had a lot of pressure pretty much my whole career. But coming into the professional ranks as a gold medalist, you know, there's not a lot of room for error. You know, I was riding a win streak that dated back to when I was 14 years old. And, you know, any little hiccup, you know, was written about. Any little hiccup was a headline. If I took a good punch, I got knocked down early in my career. Everybody wrote me off. And, you know, I knew that there were a lot of naysayers and a lot of critics that were at the fight, sitting ringside in press row, waiting for me to fail and not capture that world title so they can say that, oh, he was a bust. So to be able to beat a guy like Mikkel Kessler, who was, you know, he was the man at the time at 168 pounds, to beat him and to get that monkey off my back and hoist that belt over my head, man, it was just it was 1,000 pounds lifted off of me, and I knew I was on my way.
You mentioned your dad loved Ali. He was my dad's favorite, too, but my favorite fighter when I was a kid, and I'm older than you about by 10 years or so, but my favorite fighter was, I loved watching Mike Tyson in his prime.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're a little too young, maybe. I don't know, but who was your favorite when you were a kid?
I mean, I loved all those guys. Like I said, I was always a young old man. You know, I was an old soul. So I watched all the VHS tapes of Robinson and Ali and Sonny Liston and Cleveland Williams and all the way, you know, dating up to where, you know, my era. But the guys that I, you know, that I felt like were kind of, you know, the guys that I really, really honed my style after were Floyd Mayweather, Roy Jones, and Bernard Hopkins. Like, those guys were my big three.
Why do you think, Andre, I'm curious, why do you think the heavyweight division, like it used to be, the heavyweight division used to be, you know, a lot of great divisions, but the heavyweight division for many years was so big, and now the heavyweight division is just not the same in recent years. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think one thing is basketball and football stole a lot of our, you know, American heavyweight champions.
Sure, you're right.
That's one thing. But I do think that the heavyweight division is in, you know, as good a shape as it's been in a very long time. You know, it's on the rise with Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua. I mean, you have, you know, mainstream press talking about this fight. They're clamoring about this fight. So that's how you know that a sport or a division is where it needs to be when you get that kind of clamor and that kind of buildup. And I just hope that these guys are able to get that fight done, because if a fight like that would be the biggest thing in boxing at this time, doesn't get done, that's when you start to take the black eyes and people start to mumble and grumble. Get that fight done so people can see that the heavyweight division and boxing itself is not back on top, but just where it needs to be.
Did you have a problem with the McGregor-Mayweather fight?
I was to the contrary. I loved it.
Loved it.
Yeah. I loved it for various reasons. I first of all, I didn't think it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. When I first heard about it, I was like, it's not happening. Like, why are you telling me this? It's not going to happen. Dana White's not going to approve it. McGregor will probably, you know, it's probably a money grab if he had the opportunity. And, like, it's not going to happen. It happened. So the fact that it happened, and I worked for ESPN covering the, you know, pre-fight, post-fight, even while I was working, I was just giddy. I'm like, man, this is crazy. Like, this guy's really about to pull this off. So I respected Floyd and his business savvy for being able to pull something like that off at that magnitude. And then I also respected, you know, Conor McGregor, who was obviously in over his heels, but he had the courage, man, to risk his reputation, to risk his, you know, his rep and bringing his country to Vegas. And like, it could have ended ugly and ended bad, and it didn't end well for him, but it could have been worse. So I respected him for that. So, man, I take my hat off to those guys. Now, this other thing that Mayweather's talking about, I can't speak on that.
What? I don't even know about it. What are you talking about, getting in the octagon?
No, apparently there's some guy in Tokyo who two or three days ago, he announced on New Year's Eve he's going to fight this guy. This guy is part-time MMA, part-time kickboxer, and they were supposed to fight on New Year's Eve, and the rules were not stipulated yet.
Yeah.
Fast forward until today, Floyd goes on his Instagram, and he says, I don't know, I was there for another reason, and then they sprung this on me, and, you know, we just went along with it, but I'm not fighting this guy, and it's not real. So I really don't know what's going on with that, but I think Floyd tried to get another money grab, and something happened behind the scenes, and it probably backfired.
We're talking with retired boxer, actor. Now we're going to get to the acting part, because I can't wait for Creed 2. Andre Ward is with us. Andre, before we do that, I know you won the gold medal in the Olympics in 2004. That was the year also that the men's basketball team, shockingly, did not win the gold. They won the bronze, if I remember correctly. But LeBron was on that team. Carmelo, Dwayne Wade, Allen Iverson, and others. Did you get to hang with any of those guys?
Man, we didn't. We didn't. We had like not LeBron.
Yeah.
AI was really nice when we saw him. But there are a couple guys. I'm not gonna name any names. Uh-oh. But there are a couple guys on that squad when we saw them at the, you know, the opening ceremonies, and we saw them kind of around the village. They weren't too nice.
Not cool.
They weren't too nice. So we kind of had a bad taste in our mouth, and we kind of felt a certain kind of way. We let it go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, you know. But AI, man, and LeBron, man, those guys are great today, man. Like, yeah. Anytime we see AI, he's a huge boxing fan. He comes up, gives me a hug.
Yeah.
LeBron, I'm close with Maverick Carter, and that's obviously LeBron's guy. So those guys are good to go. But there were a few guys on that squad that kind of gave us the cold shoulder.
Not including Creed and Creed 2, what is your favorite boxing movie of all time?
Oh, the Rocky series for sure.
Yeah.
Like all the Rockies. Like, you know, I was the kid that was listening to the soundtrack on my CD player, like running, doing miles and on the treadmill and that kind of thing. Like, some people say that's corny, but that's me. Like, I was that guy. I would watch a Rocky movie and then get fired up and want to go work out and train.
How good – I thought he was great, but I'm not a boxer. How good did Michael B. Jordan play the role?
I think Mike nailed it. I think Mike nailed it, and he nailed it because you know, he and Ryan Coogler, you know, the director for Creed 1, they did their homework. You know, they came to my gym and worked with me and my coach before they started shooting. They went to Philly and worked with some coaches, and they weren't presumptuous. They didn't just assume that, oh, you know, we'll do some choreography and we'll nail it and people will love it and we'll do well. Like, they knew they had to buy in and really understand how the fight game worked, and they would, you know, they'll text or call about the simplest things, like, hey man, would a guy wear these kind of shoes in the ring? Or what about this glove size? Is this accurate? So when you put that kind of, you know, attention to detail to a sport like boxing, where you want to try to make it as authentic as possible, like, you're gonna get a great outcome. And Mike did that. And furthermore, like, when Mike is shooting, he's living like a Spartan. Like,
nice.
He's got a one cheat day. Like, he's on a strict diet. He's eating every 2 hours. He's working out like crazy. And I didn't think it took all of that, but he's putting that kind of work into it. His personal trainer, a guy named Corey, he does a great job. And you see the results, you know, on the big screen.
By the way, he was great in Black Panther, too. Did you see that?
Yeah, no, he killed it.
Yeah.
He killed it. They broke all kind of records, and they did a great job.
Andre, here's the question I have. When you were growing up, you're the same age as me, or about a year younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
Did you play Mike Tyson's Punch-Out?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Who was the hardest character to fight? You remember some of those characters back in the day?
Vaguely.
Soda Popinski and
King
Hippo.
Yeah.
Didn't they bring that back a couple years ago?
I don't know.
Like with Nintendo?
So. I don't know.
I think
they brought back like a Nintendo, like the same old school version, but I don't think a new one. But either way, I was like obsessed with that game growing up.
Yeah,
yeah, a lot of people were.
Andre, for the first Creed movie, Sylvester Stallone was up for Best Supporting Actor. I thought he should have won. A lot of people thought he should have won. He did not win. Not the guy who did win did a great job too. But I thought Stallone should have won. What did you think about that? What's your experience been like with Stallone? How's he been to you?
Man, Sly's been great. And, you know, Creed 1, Creed 2, you know, when you talk to Sly, you feel like you've known him, you know, for most of your life. He's just a real guy. He's obviously a, you know, mega superstar. He's an icon. But, you know, he's just a regular dude. I mean, and, you know, even being extended the opportunity to do The Contender season 5 and being the host of that, like he's, you know, he's been just a great help, big shoes to fill, but, you know, He's just a real person, man, and you know, what you see is what you get.
So Creed 2 will be out in theaters 2 weeks from today. I can't wait to see it. I've seen every Rocky movie, including the first Creed, which was great. What was it like just being in Creed 1, Creed 2? What's it like being an actor now?
I think I got bit by the bug. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Yeah.
But it's a lot more work than I thought it was. I mean, we're talking 12-hour days, and you know, choreography, and you know, you get handed a script, and you got to digest it, make it your own, and you know, the next day you got to come ready to perform. So,
sorry, Andre. I was saying, how much? Like when the scene's in the ring, like, are guys really making contact? Like, I mean, what's that like?
No, yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
It's real. You know, you have stuntmen who are going through the choreography initially before, you know, you learn the moves and you're able to do it yourself. And for Creed too, like, you know, believe it or not, people would have thought that, a few shots would have got away from me, the quote-unquote the boxer, the professional guy. Yeah. But it was the opposite. Like, Michael B., like, a couple shots got away from him. And he ended up hitting me flush, and I'm like, bro. And he's like, oh, man, I'm sorry, man. I'm like, bro, watch it. Like, so it happens, but it's real. You go back to your room, you're sore. You know, it's the real deal.
So for those who don't know, I mean, if you haven't seen the first Creed, I don't know what you're doing. But this one, I'll give a quick, you know, the quick premise, right, is that now he's fighting Drago's son from Rocky IV, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just
that's awesome.
It's just bringing it back. I love it. Drago's got a kid. Apollo's got a kid. It's great.
Don't miss it. Thanksgiving weekend, Creed 2. It's going to be amazing. And I also don't want you guys, I don't want to lose sight of this, because this is the reason for this call, is The Contender, the live finale Friday on Epix. Excited about that. You know, you have Brandon Adams, Shane Mosley Jr. This is the reboot, season 5. This is going to be a tremendous matchup, man, and I want everybody to tune in. You can go to epix.com to get the live stream. You can go to Twitter to get the live stream, or you can just call your cable provider and punch it in.
Are you going to be doing that again? Is it another season, or you not know yet?
We haven't talked about another season.
Yeah.
I think we're just trying to finish strong. You know, we got a finale that we're focusing on, and that's all everybody can think about. But I would love to come back and do it again, man. Just probably one of the best experiences of my professional career.
That's this Friday, right? It's going to be at the Forum in L.A.?
10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Andre, awesome. We appreciate it, man. Best of luck.
Thanks, Andre.
Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.